Let me say, week in and week out, what a joy it is to work with Elaine and Jim. They bring out the very, very best in us. Our scripture lesson today is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the people in Thessalonica. The Gospels in the New Testament were written about the year 70, 80, 90, on into the second century. The letters of Paul came earlier, and indeed, this is his earliest writing, and being from the first chapter, verse 1, we have the earliest words from the New Testament. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in prayers, constantly remembering before our God your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that God has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. 18 years ago, in October of 1999, Wendy and I and 10-month-old Ruthie got up on a Sunday morning and we got to choose which church we could go to. Oh, this was a special and rare opportunity for us. We were actually in Cincinnati at the General Assembly of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Our boys were school age, so they stayed with some church friends back home. It was just the three of us, Wendy, baby Ruthie, and me. So not having a preaching assignment that Sunday, I was thrilled we could pick any church to attend. There were many churches from which to choose. Churches sent school buses, buses like school buses, down to the convention center. And people just got on the bus that would take them where they wanted to go. I wanted to hear Johnny Ray, who was at the time the director of Week of Compassion, which is the disciples' version of One Great Hour of Sharing. He headed up the disaster relief arm of the church, and he was going to preach at First Christian Church of Covington, which was just across the Ohio River from Cincinnati. Problem? The Covington bus never came. Oh, there were buses. There were buses everywhere. Buses for Florence, buses for Mount Healthy, buses for Carthage and many other churches, but no Covington. Rather than do nothing, we'd gotten all dressed up. We decided, well, let's just hop on another bus. But which one? I couldn't remember who was preaching at the other churches, and buses were pulling out, and we had to make a decision quickly. Which bus? We just needed to get on any old bus, I guess. And so we started to get on a bus that said Mount Healthy Christian Church. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I spot a bus and a guy holding a sign that just simply said, Martini. Mount Healthy Martini. Martini. Now, I'm not an alcohol drinker because alcohol has ripped through my family, and I've made the conscious decision to support those who have trouble with alcohol in my family and not to drink. But come on, I couldn't pass up the opportunity, and I said to Wendy, forget about that healthy Christian church. We're going to the Martini UCC church. Wouldn't you? Sometimes there are moments you just can't pass up. And so we got on that bus, and as the bus was pulling away from the convention center, we settled into our seats in the back of the bus. We didn't know exactly where we were going, but at least we were going somewhere. And the man holding the martini sign stood up in the front of the bus and with a very thick accent said, "Now this bus can't make it up the hill to the church, but I've got my four-wheel drive pickup at the drop point, and I'll take anyone who can't walk up the church." And we all laughed and envisioned everyone climbing in the back bed of this pickup truck in their Sunday best, no less, and picking bugs out of their teeth during communion. Well, we get to this 175-year-old plus Ohio neighborhood, and its streets laid out long before Ford ever thought of mass-producing school buses, let alone automobiles. When we get to this old, old, old neighborhood, the bus stopped, and we were told, go up this hill, go up the road on this hill. The church is at the top of the hill. Now, of course, it was cloudy. It was foggy. You couldn't see more than 50 feet. And we could barely see the road, let alone we couldn't see any hill. We wondered out loud, what did we get ourselves into? The road was steep. Sort of like, well, the Alps or the Grand Tetons, kind of steep. So we were here, and we're told the church is way up there somewhere out of our sight. So Wendy and I, holding baby Ruthie and taking turns carrying her, were the last off the bus. We started our hike. Now, back in that day, everyone dressed up for church. I mean, suits and ties and high heels and dresses. But because we were 30 years younger than anyone else on the bus, and because of the length and the pitch of the road, we passed everyone, taking turns carrying little Ruthie. And as we climbed, we wondered if we would ever find the church. At this point, we were wishing we had chosen to ride in that four-wheel drive pickup. I mean, what's a few bugs between friends? And then suddenly, we rounded a corner, and there it was. A magnificent cathedral nestled in the clouds. It was a small building in width, but it seemed to go straight up to God in heaven. We were badly winded at that time. We had climbed all that way. We get to the front door, and there we were. We're trying to catch our breath, and the man opens the door to greet us, and he steps out with a smile, said, "Welcome, the sanctuary is upstairs." And I laughed, and I said, "Oh, that's funny. After that walk, that's really a good joke." And then in all seriousness, he said, "No, really, the sanctuary is upstairs," which just made me laugh even more. Catching our breath, we went upstairs, and we walked into a shrine. The sanctuary, gorgeous. Wendy then went to change Ruthie in a nursery that hadn't been used in 9 years. Later, she described the nursery as a jungle of cobwebs and dust, and I was just standing in the back of the sanctuary in the narthex area, looking at pictures on the wall, minding my own business, when one of the members came up to me and struck up a conversation. I first complimented him on the wonderful pipe organ that was being played. Oh, it was spectacular. And the guy says, and I'm quoting this, he says, "You ought to go up and see the plaque on the side of the organ." Some famous guy played our organ. Schweitzer, Switzer, something like that. To which I just politely nodded. And he continued, yeah, the guy later went on to Africa and did some, apparently, some really famous things. And just then, Wendy came up from the catacombs, wiping the cobwebs from her hair and asking me, you have to check the baby and me. Are there any spiders? Are there any? Since the service was about to start, we took our seats. And I said to her, after church, I got to go up and check out that organ. And she gave me one of those, what? I'll tell you later. So after church, I went up to check out this plaque they had on their organ. I wanted to know if they were talking about the noted humanitarian Dr. Albert Schweitzer or the bootlegger son who coached Oklahoma football and the Dallas Cowboys, Barry Switzer. Believe it or not, there's a difference between those two. Well, to no surprise, I found out it was the former, not the latter. Early on in that church's history, Albert Schweitzer had played the organ. Wow! And there was a bright, shiny, polished plaque to prove it, and they were so proud of that. The members of that church had name tags that Sunday. I counted 24 members. 55 visitors eventually made it from the bus up to the church. I don't know how many gave up on the journey getting there. But I wondered, why so few people? I mean, my mind filled with myriad of answers, but I was drawn to one most readily. And that was that congregation put all its efforts, all its energy, all its money into making sure that that organ, that Schweitzer or Switzer or something like that played, that was their top priority. That was their mission. That was their priority. That was their focus. And all of that made me deeply sad. And I saw a church that was dying. They had a lunch afterwards, and I asked about outreach to the community, and I got this blank look. And I remember praying that day. I said, thank you, God, that the church I'm at puts people first. And thank you, God, that you're a God that dwells not in buildings or shrines, but in the hearts of people. And then I prayed, remind me, God, always to put people first. And I prayed that Martini UCC church wouldn't live in its glorious past, as wonderful as it might have been. And I saw a picture in their Northex that had the church, and the whole countryside was filled with people going to that church. It didn't surprise me when I tried to look up what that church was doing today. I had trouble finding it because it's closed its doors. Well, enough about that. Our scripture today, let's get to our scripture. The Apostle Paul is pleased with what's happening at Thessalonica. Since he was last there, the Thessalonians have become imitators of Paul and of Jesus. Furthermore, in their courage, in their boldness, in the face of terrible times, they have become examples to all believers in Macedonia and the surrounding areas. The Apostle Paul said, "For the word of God has sounded forth from you. In every place your faith has become known." We like to say that, like, well, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one, or practice what you preach. We are all to imitate Jesus. If we can't point to examples, even to ourselves, we really have very little to say. All we have left will be our shrines. Let's think back over our lives. I doubt that there are many of you who are here today because, well, you read about being a Christian in a book or that you took a class on Christianity. You're here, I suspect, like me, because you were attracted to the lives of others. You saw faith practiced, and you wanted to follow that example. The Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, "The word of God has sounded forth from you." We're not a shrine around here. We have something that is far better. The sounds of laughter, the sounds of friendship, of support and concern, of reaching out to all people, of sharing joys and concerns and sorrows, the sounds of family, the sounds of couples, gay and straight, the sounds of the Spirit of God creating anew, shaping our lives so that we might live God's grace and love and peace and justice and extravagant welcome, not just talk about it or put it on a plaque on the wall. We are not caretakers of a shrine. We are to be imitators of Jesus. And believe it or not, there is a difference between those two. As wonderful as this sanctuary may be, at the heart of our ministry is not the building or any of the other wonderful material items within this building. It's the people. It's you and me in relationships, in Christian nurture, in the Christian witness and mission work, in justice for which we proclaim. Rather than being known for our staff or who played our organ or our stained glass, my prayer is that we would be known as the church who tries to imitate Jesus in a crazy mixed up world, providing people who are broken time to heal and feel safe again, trying to give homeless and at-risk kids hope through bikes and backpacks and food, education for all people that honors all loving relationships, that we would live God's grace and love and peace and justice and extravagant welcome, that we would stand in city hall and street corners and grocery stores and board meetings until all of God's children know they are welcomed. And if ever the world, if ever the United States, if ever Arizona, if ever the West Valley, if ever Sun City needed to imitate God, wow, it's now. And finally, many years ago, a church was doing vacation Bible school for kids, VBS for kids. It was the summertime. They were doing VBS. And in the middle of the week, a new kid named Sam showed up. Now, Sam had only been born with one arm. And the teacher of the class worried about how the other kids were going to react. He was a grandson of one of the members. He didn't know any of the other kids. He was different. How would they react? But soon she found him just blending right in. Great. So much she forgot about him having just one arm. One of the activities that day was to make the church. You know, when you put your hands together and you say, here is the church, here is the steeple, open the doors, and you see all the people. So she said, let's make the church. And just as the words came out of her mouth, she realized that Sam wasn't going to be able to do that. But before she could say anything, one of the little girls sitting right next to Sam said, let's make the church together. And she took Sam's hand. And together, they made the church. Now tomorrow, as you go about your daily task in the office, at the kitchen sink, in the 19th hole, in the classroom, in the garage, the shop, people are going to be looking at you to see how you respond to this life, rightly trying to see a glimpse of God reflected in us. What are they going to see? Will they see God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness, God's justice, God's compassion in us, God's commitment to peace, God's extravagant welcome and inclusiveness in us? Of all the churches you could have chosen today, you chose this one, and I'm glad for that. Let's make another choice. This day, let's make the church, and let's make the church together. Black, white, rich, poor, gay, straight, political, non-political, hand in hand, imitating Jesus in this community and world, so that when we open those doors, God's grace and love and justice and peace and welcome will just burst forth with new life. Thanks be to God. Amen.